The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
If you listen to my program enough, you know that I am very focused on the importance of communist China being the threat to the world's freedom. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry for the long delay between shows. It was a busy time, and I kind of needed to focus on what was going on at the matter. And now that that's been all behind us, we can get back to talking about the major issues of the day. So China has long been a threat. And really, they're the only true communist holdouts outside of whatever remains of Cuba. And, you know, North Korea is just a totalitarian dictatorship that China uses. But they've long been, I mean, even more so than Russia. Russia's kind of heading back that way, but they're more of an oligarchy. And, you know, it's not as full-blown. It's almost as if the Mao Cultural Revolution has shifted to the Xi Jinping Cultural Revolution of the world, using TikTok, using different areas of leverage and influence, especially with buying certain areas, college universities in America. They've basically leveraged the economic, you know, freedom that we showed them, and they've used it against us. See, we thought, let's just normalize relations with China, give them enough trading opportunities, and they'll start wanting to make more money, and they might start moving away from communism and go, hey, I like this freedom thing. I like getting money. I like having good technology. No, they turned it around against us and said, we're going to buy your debt. We're going to leverage and steal your intellectual property and use it against you. And then we're going to set ourselves up to take on the world. Now, economically, they're sitting on a giant real estate bubble because they're building properties that have no one buying them. And then they're just destroying them. But they do set themselves up to be the world leader. And this is pre-COVID. I mean, think about it. You had them basically taking all of our manufacturing and doing so basically on a large scale dumping measure. You know, what dumping is when you flood the market with an alternative product for a third of the cost, you know, or the third of the selling price. And so then everybody's going to rush to your product. Even if it is cheap, falls apart, and we got to buy it again later. You're still going to run your competition out. And they did so. They've got our pharmaceutical manufacturing. They've taken a lot. They've also ensnared countries through their crappy infrastructure that they call Belt and Road. You know, they were building those man-made military islands in the South China Sea. And so we decided, well, let's also be a friend with them in the science world, you know, in the medical world. So we're going to go there and work with the Chinese on sort of like a, you know, Russian space station concept, but with diseases and weapons grade, you know, viruses. And that's what happened with COVID. It leaked out the lab. I still think that wasn't a leak. I think that was China saying, now's the time. You know, Donald Trump was changing the tariffs on them, changing the leverage, and they just let it go. You know, the end game is a global world order, and it's who's going to be at the top of it. Is it going to be China? Is it going to be the World Economic Forum? Is it going to be America? Is sovereignty going to be taken away? All of this explains everything you see going on in the world, even the yings and yangs. It explains why Israel is a target, why they want to take out Netanyahu, but they don't want to take out the Khomeini in Iran, why they're supporting Hamas, why Hezbollah gets supported. Why is ISIS back? Well, what you know from this program, ISIS never went away. It just kind of went underground. And why was ISIS in Russia? Huh. ISIS-K, I guess, the Khorasan or whatever. The Khorasan group. Because you can't have a global world order with a sovereign Israel or a sovereign America. So you flood the border. you send all your Chinese nationals in. I saw a speedboat go right up on the shore in California with these military Chinese-style individuals come running across. I mean, they found 37,000 Chinese nationals at the border. You've got people from Venezuela, all of them, most of them criminals, and they're all a part of these crazy human trafficking gangs. You've got the Mexican cartels working with Hezbollah, coming across the Darien Gap in Panama. You've got the Chinese building a bridge across the Darien Gap, a bridge that can withstand the weight of military tanks. What does that say? And you start to see a bigger picture heading our way, especially with some other news items, because you have to think of a couple things to make sense of the world. What makes sense to the fact that our entire medical community decided, hey, we're going to step away from do no wrong, do no harm, and we're going to start trying to mutilate your kids and to turn them into scientific experiments to see if you can make a man into a woman and a woman into a man. What explains that? What explains Boston Children's Medical College or Medical University going after kids to trans them, to turn them into a sex that they aren't medically? Who would be behind that? Well, we do know the trans movement is being funded by somebody from Alibaba, and that's a Chinese company. Because you have to remember, and I said this 1,000 times, when people go, oh, TikTok, why would you want to ban TikTok? TikTok's a great example of a weaponized corporation under Chinese law. So in China, you cannot run a business without somebody from the Communist Party on your shareholders board. Now, whether or not they have enough voting shares is one thing, but they still, through power, can influence the operation. Yeah, in theory, TikTok, I wouldn't want to ban them because of free speech issues, but then you have to start to go, well, how far does it go? Because China is using their leverage with their board chairs of TikTok to foment a cultural revolution in the United States through social media influence, while also collecting everyone's data off of the phones and devices they install TikTok to, even stuff not even related to TikTok. So where do we draw the line? I mean, to me, that's almost antitrust. That's criminal. They should be banned for that, not for the First Amendment that everybody's pushing. But this is how the entire game is operated. We looked at it as, let's provide some capitalism to China, and that'll change their view, and we'll do like we did with the Soviet Union. They were clamoring for Levi's blue jeans, and they wanted to watch Dallas and live a high life like that, and that's what brought about the eventual collapse of the Soviet Union, along with Ronald Reagan pushing this brilliant idea to scare the Russians using Atari Missile Command and saying, look, we've got this strategic defense system that we can take out your nuclear weapons, and they spent all their money trying to replicate it and went bankrupt. So you have the bankruptcy of Russia, along with the entire citizenry wanting and longing for freedom and for a better life. And we thought we could do that with China bringing capitalism in, but they decided they're going to maintain their power and they're going to allow you this access to this new market of all these millions of people for your products. And you will just sell out America in the process. And when you do business with us for this new market share, we're going to put our communist leaders on your board, and then we're going to tell you how things go down, how you do business. Google, you're going to have to censor things, you know? And this is how it happens. And so are these hospitals in America owned by Chinese interest? You have to start thinking of these things to make sense. These universities that were receiving funding from China, are they responsible for teaching all this woke ideology? DEI, ESG, you know, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, is just a way to solidify actual systemic racism I mean, it's a system to bring racism in, and it stems from critical race theory, which stems from critical theory, which stems from Marxism. Critical theory was a bourgeoisie versus the proletariat, the haves versus the have-nots, and you can work on using class to push Marxism and communism. Well, couldn't do that in America because you could be upper class and then within a year be lower class. You could go bust or you can make it big. So they had to push a different view. They had to go with the race aspect. We'll just pit everyone against each other using race. We'll cloward and pivot the system with racial division, and we'll do so using diversity, equity, inclusion to promote people that shouldn't be promoted and to hinder other people who shouldn't be hindered. And we're going to put this in every boardroom. We're going to put this in every organization, every nonprofit. We're going to, and that's how they're going to turn places that they haven't captured financially. They're going to do so by having you do it on yourself so that you look responsible. And then through ESG, you're going to want an incentive to do this to yourself because you won't be able to get capital funding if you don't meet these marks. And this is how they push for self-Marxist takeover. And then at a certain point, you'll either go along to get along or you'll just be bought out. And so we have to look at some news items that are going on in the world to show that China's really pushing pressure big time. And it's getting to a point where we really, really need to start pushing back. And I think Central America, certain parts of South America, they've started pushing back. A lot in the West, I mean, you know, in Europe and France, they're starting to change minds, and Switzerland and Sweden and, you know, the Netherlands, they're starting to go, you know what, maybe we need to dial this back. You know, we'll dial back the trans. We'll push for sovereignty. We'll push for freedom. We've got Javier Milei down there in Argentina. We've got El Salvador making moves. But America's not. And America is being pushed down. And it's hard for me to know if Donald Trump is in on it or if he's against it. Because he says he's against it. But what does he do? So the Democrats decided they're just going to hamper him and tie him up with, and I don't want to make this about Trump because it's more about China, but you got to look at the world and what they did to Javier Bolsonaro down in Brazil, because it's the same method. They're doing the same thing to Trump, but then I don't know where Trump's going with it all, because they've decided we're going to try to find a way after we stole the election from him and we installed our pudding pop plant, corn pop Biden, kid sniffer, we're going to put him in. And then we're just going to ramrod the entire country with Marxist ideology. And then we're going to try to find a way to ban Trump from ever running again. So what are we going to do? We're going to put a bunch of fake lawsuits against him so we can do one of two things. We can tell everybody, look, he's been convicted and he's a felon. He's got all these indictments, so we shouldn't run a criminal. And a lot of people on the left are buying that talking point. But then they are also using lawfare to bleed him dry. Well, the DNC is sitting on a ton of money. The RNC is going broke, paying for legal fees for Trump and blowing their money. And then Trump just had his daughter-in-law take over the RNC? And then Trump turns around, says he's for abortion, or, you know, certain, he chastised Arizona because Arizona defaulted back to its original position now that Roe versus Wade is gone. And he says, well, we're going to have to fix that. Okay, you're basically taking the pro-choice stance. You're saying that the Ukraine funding should be okay if it's turned into a loan. We don't need to fund Ukraine. You're pushing for every rhino candidate in the primaries, in the House of Representatives and Senate races. You push for a couple conservatives, and that's notable, but a lot of them are just straight-up rhinos. And then on top of that, he's demanding 5% of campaign funds from congressional candidates and, you know, to be going back as a tribute to Donald Trump's campaign. And then they'll get their endorsement. What does that do? So you're going to bleed them dry too? And they won't have support? How is this not controlled opposition? I don't know. I mean, I've gone back and forth on this since he first got into the election back in 2016. I think I did a whole podcast on it where I'm going, did Bill Clinton call him up and say, hey, go ahead and get in the race. You got my blessing, because they were going to use him to ruin the Republican Party? I don't know. I mean, sometimes it looks like it, and then he does stuff, and I go, well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it's pretty interesting. So we've got that happening, and we've got the border being flooded. We don't have a strong movement for freedom, because it's got to be from the state level to the congressional level along with Donald Trump. It's not all Trump alone. He can't do all of what needs to be done to fix all of the damage that Biden has given us. And we have to fix ourselves and fortify ourselves up against the threat of a rising China. So on the other side of the break, I want to get into a couple stories that kind of make you scratch your head and go, where is this going? Where is China going with all this? On the other side of this break.
This is Adrian Slade.
What we know is that the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy. It's an attack on education. It's an attack on how our economy works.
That is the pretend governor of Georgia, Stacey Abrams, the one who just wouldn't concede. Yeah, she's talking about DEI and how it's against everything, right? If you're against DEI, then you're against democracy. It's unbelievable how these people go to those links. But this is all about weakening America. This is why we had this transgender drag queen speaking at a Palestinian rally outside of Yale. Now, Yale, their students are out there cheering, Viva, Viva, Palestina. You had Columbia University putting on a rally, and then they're burning some of the school facilities. And this person is up there talking about expressing solidarity with Gaza, LGBTQ, they're against colonialism. Listen to the language. It's just all hating on America. That's all it is. It's just, I want a communist state, and let's just bag on America. Listen to this nonsense.
Oh, United States. I stand in deep solidarity and grief with everyone here as we feel in our bodies the layered, ongoing colonial violences of the transatlantic slave trade and multiple indigenous genocides and dispossessions that has not only founded this country, but has also made Yale University and many other universities and colleges possible as a capitalist necropolitical machine. Veiled through its naming as a site of critical pedagogy, we all know that such a place was only able to build its foundations on top of landscapes of mass incarceration, death, and entrapment. All of us know that real pedagogy, what Brazilian anti-colonial educator Paulo Freire referred to as the pedagogy of the oppressed, happens most effectively outside the purview of the ivory tower. In the streets, on the road, in practices of deep joy and love, at dinner table conversations, in the bedroom, and in sacred prayer. There is no pedagogy in selectively forgetting or carrying amnesia to the horrors of settler colonial violence. No matter how many equity seminars you hold, how many DEI committees you form, how many land acknowledgments you produce, or how many forced sorries you involuntarily provide in the not-so-distant future, we know that educational institutions are crafted as corporate legacies of entrapment, confinement, and ideological regulation.
You catch all that? The pedagogy and all the anti-colonialism and all this BS, you know what it all stems from. It's basically anti-Americanism. And DEI is to foment communism, ultimately. And so who ultimately gets the upper hand out of this? Who wins? Who benefits? China. China, who is helping Iran fight Israel. And so right now, what we have is we have Secretary of State Antony Blinken talking about sanctioning. Listen to this. This is from Axios. Sanctioning the IDF unit. U.S. expected to sanction IDF unit for human rights violations in the West Bank. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken expected to, within days, announce sanctions against the Israeli Defense Forces, Netzah Yehuda, the battalion that is apparently responsible for some human rights violations in the occupied West Bank. Three U.S. sources with knowledge of the issue told Axios. And they say why it matters? Well, it'd be the first time in the U.S. Imposed sanctions would be levied on, you know, on Israel. It's crazy. But this group that we have in power right now, the ones that were implanted, installed, are taking every opportunity to do this. I mean, and not only that, think of this. Remember the podcast I did when I was talking about Brazil? Brazil is the model for how the U.S. is wanting to go down in flames. Brazil, Javier Bolsonaro. This guy was pro-2A, pro-free speech. He deregulated a lot. He lifted up the economy. People were doing well. They called him the Brazilian Trump. Well, what ended up happening? Well, he somehow lost his election to a convicted felon communist who was in power before. So the Marxism was installed. And then they ran him out of the nation. They had a January 6th. It's on January 8th down there where the rally happened around the inauguration. Same thing. And then they tried to use the courts to disallow him from ever running for office again. But right now, as we speak, teams and teams of crowds are all over the streets with Javier Bolsonaro in a free speech protest. That's what's going to happen here eventually. These things are going to happen, especially when we've got all of the indoctrination going on with all of these universities, Free Palestine, and their guys lighting himself on fire. It's the second one, by the way. They tried to spin it as, oh, he's a Trump supporter. He's QAnon, or, you know, he's looking at, really, there's pictures of him with Bill Clinton, pictures of him wearing Bernie Sanders shirts. We kind of figure out what this kind of person is. So we've got all that going on, and we have everything that's happening in Israel, which China is supporting Israel's biggest foe, Iran, giving them weapons, giving them drones. You know, the Iranians are not building their own drones, guys. And so China is the big threat. Because, again, you can't have a global world order with a sovereign Israel, which their sovereignty is biblically based. So we've got the degradation and the minimization of freedom in America, the degrading of the greatness of America at the same time of the rise of China and at the same time of us blowing all of our money on Ukraine. Thank you, Speaker Johnson. I don't know what that was all about, but yeah, they're all waving Ukrainian flags. That's going to be the video you remember when the economy crashes into the dirt and everybody goes, all the normies go, what happened? What happened to my dollar? Why am I broke? Why? What? Think those Ukrainian waving flags in your state house in Congress. We just have a crap, and Trump supports it. He said it's making a loan, and Lindsey Graham's going on and on about how Trump would back it. Listen to this.
There's a loan component to it. This would not have passed without Donald Trump. I want to thank the House Speaker and Akeem Jeffries working together in a bipartisan fashion to give weapons to Ukraine to fight a fight that matters to us. And President Trump has created a loan component to this package that gives us leverage down the road.
Yeah. And Lindsey Graham's not wrong. Hey, sorry, MAGA folks out there. Your fearless leader told him to do it. Here he is in his own words.
Dollars more. $60 billion with a B. They want to give him $60 billion more. And I said, wait a minute. Do it this way. Loan them the money. If they can make it, they pay us back. If they can't make it, they don't have to pay us back. Loan them the money. Put it as a form of a loan. Why should you just hand it over to them? Do it as a form of a loan. I do that with athletes. They can't quite, you know, like a professional golfer who I think is very good. They don't have any money, but they have a lot of talent. I'll say, here's the deal. I did it with a number of people. Here's the deal. What I want to do, professional golfer, I play golf. I play very nice. Did you see the picture of me, the horrible picture with the stomach out to here? That was. So what I do is I'm putting up today a picture of me actually, what I actually look like, hitting a ball, smashing the frickin' ball. And you'll see quite I wouldn't say slim. I wouldn't say slim, but not bad. But the ball does go far. I would say it goes about 9 times further than by...
I mean, I'm glad we learned about his golf game, and now he's slimmed up a bit now. You know, he's getting in shape. He was doing that paleo diet and, you know, keto and doing his P98 or P96, whatever the hell that thing is. But we know his golf game is in check, and we know that I thought a loan would have to be paid back, but I guess, you know, it doesn't matter. We're just going to give the money and just call it a loan. Everybody will be happy then. MAGA people will be happy, and we'll just burn our economy to the ground and cause inflation to just go skyrocketing. And while all this is happening, we've got China on the move, and that's my problem. We have to be very serious because China is very serious. And if we don't start looking at things across the world, like why the Marxists have taken over Brazil, why China is policing its people in Hungary. You know, I heard a story about that similarly in New York, that China has its own police forces in New York. Why would they do that? Well, this is actually from semaphore.com. Why China is sending its own police to Hungary. Chinese police will be stationed in Hungary as part of a security deal between Beijing and Budapest, Germany's Die Welt newspaper first reported. The agreement, which deepens cooperation in areas including counterterrorism, combating transnational crimes, security and law enforcement capacity, building under the Belt and Road Initiative, there it is raising alarm bells that Hungary, a NATO and EU member, is undermining European security goals. China has previously stationed police in countries including Italy, Serbia. Throughout Italy, it pulled out of its agreement following an uproar over the secret police stations across the world monitoring Chinese citizen dissent overseas. China watchers and human rights groups are worried China is amping up a transnational repression in Hungary as Budapest becomes more economically linked to China. Belt and Road, that's how they do it. They buy you and ensnare you with their crappy infrastructure because it's cheaper, and some of these emerging nations can benefit from having, you know, broadband and having roads paved and having all types of technological advances that the Chinese can offer them. But many times those advances aren't even really that effective. Then we see from Newsweek, China's police officers invited to patrol NATO members' streets. Chinese police will soon be patrolling streets alongside local counterparts in Hungarian cities, which we talked about in the other article. And it seems like Viktor Orban's on board with this. This law enforcement presence follows allegations that China has been operating clandestine police stations in dozens of cities worldwide. In a 2022 report, Spain, a Spain-based human rights organization, Safeguard Defenders, detailed how this shadowy network, believed to be part of the Communist Chinese Party's United Front influence apparatus, intimidate and surveil dissidents, asylum seekers, and ethnic minorities living abroad. The ministry said police officers from 2 countries will be able to carry out patrol duties together, thus helping to improve communication between the citizens and authorities of the 2 countries and improving internal security and public order. Are we getting these police officers coming across the border? Because it seems as though we had 37,000 Chinese nationals come across. We also had boats coming up on the shore of California, speedboats, with Chinese nationals, military-age men, jumping off and running on the shore. Seems like a bit of a problem, wouldn't you say? So, yeah, this is actually from CBS News. So, there's a team of Chinese nationals coming across. Chinese migrants are the fastest-growing group crossing from the U.S. Mexican border into the U.S. from Mexico. And this is from CBS News. The number of migrants, stop calling them migrants. No one's migrating north for the winter, or now it's for the summer. They're not going back. They're illegal immigrants. Don't say that if you're in a school. You might be expelled, apparently, in North Carolina. Arriving at the southern border is unprecedented. Last year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection recorded 2.5 million instances of detaining or turning away people attempting to cross the U.S. into Mexico. So what's the fastest growing group among them? Chinese migrants. Yes, you heard that right. Chinese. We saw large groups, including many from the middle class, come through a 4-foot gap at the end of the border fence 60 miles east of San Diego. The illegal entryway is a new route for those hoping to live in America. Just after sunrise, we saw a first group of migrants making their way from Mexico. Is it because of climate change? Do you know, is that the reason why they're coming over here? You know, because of droughts and the fog? Because China's never cited for its, attacks on the environment. They don't have to go green. They can build coal-fired plants every single day. Why are these Chinese people coming over here? And why is nobody asking the real? They're not coming over here for a better life. You see the infrastructure they're setting up. They bought countries through their Belt and Road Initiative. They built these man-made islands in the South China Sea to give them better naval power. Then they're infecting all of these different countries with their police forces, having their own police forces in other nations and NATO countries. And then they're just streaming across the border. We have to be serious, and we can't have these dumb money dumps to Ukraine, and we can't be sitting here playing around with rhino politics, and we really need to push back on all this transgenderism, anti-colonialism, free Palestine, hate America, burning flags in the street, and we need to be serious and go, we need to be a serious country because we have a serious threat coming at us, and that's China. By the way, programming note, I am a part of the Give Me Liberty Network podcaster group. We got together with a group of podcasts, Carol Remarks and various others, have decided to team together and make a coalition network, and go check us out. Give Me Liberty. I think it's givemeliberty.com. Actually, it's givemelibertymedia.com. Go check out that site. There's some great shows on there. Tyler Morgan's on there. The Brutally Honest podcast is over there too. Thanks to Rowdy Introvert on Twitter or on X for putting this together. And, of course, Carol Remarks as well. The Give Me Liberty Media Group, givemelibertymedia.com. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. Check out my podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, anywhere where you get podcasts. You can also find me on X at Adrian Slade Show. Find me on Getter, Gab. I'm on all those sites. I just haven't been over there much, but I'm usually on X the most. And we'll see you guys next time. God bless.